One of the Buddha's images for samsara is moving from house to house. You build a house through your craving. You want a place you can settle in and rest. But then you're forced to move on. The house falls apart, either from within, from without. You're forced to move on. And there's a lot of suffering in that as long as you're trying to find a place to settle in and stay. You have to remember that samsara is not a place to stay. It's a traveling place. It's a place you're passing through. You can have temporary homes, but you have to realize they are temporary. And you need the skills to keep on providing for yourself. Ideally, you want to get to the point where you don't need a home anymore. Where you go beyond samsara. The mind is totally self-sufficient, needs no shelter, no protection. But to develop that self-sufficiency, you have to become like a nomad with a lot of skills. Realizing that you might have to pick up and move at any time. But you're okay with that. You realize that that's the normal state of things. And you have the skills to build a good home wherever you go. There's a story I remember reading about an Inuit family. Were out in their kayaks one time and they got blown away in a storm. Disappeared for several months. Everyone in the village assumed that they had died. And then one summer day they came paddling back in new canoes, new kayaks. But their kayaks were not made out of the types of wood and branches that were normally used. They were not the ideal ones. But they were good enough. They were laughing as they came back about how shabby their kayaks looked. But they served a purpose. It's because they had the skills to realize what could be used, what could be used in a pinch, when you had to make do. So they weren't killed by the storm, weren't killed by the fact that they were cut off from the things they were familiar with. This is the attitude we have to have. We travel through samsara with skills. We're well provided. And the skills are the skills of finding joy in doing what is good. We do good if our attitude is that we do good so that we can have something good as a result that we can hold on to. Then we're going to suffer when we have to let go. We should learn how to find joy in the doing of the good. As the Buddha said, another word for happiness is acts of merit. Being generous is happiness. Being virtuous is happiness. Developing thoughts of goodwill, attitudes of goodwill, is happiness. When you have that attitude, you can be happy wherever you go. You just keep on churning out good things. And that principle applies not only to merit, but also to all aspects of the practice. Concentration is happiness. When the Buddha defines the jhanas, the core of each definition is a mental attitude. State of being. The first jhana, rapture and pleasure, born of seclusion, accompanied by directed thought and evaluation. Notice the directed thought and evaluation are not the jhana. It's the rapture and pleasure. Same with the second jhana, rapture and pleasure. The third jhana, pleasure. Fourth jhana, equanimity. Those are the heart of each of the practices of concentration. And those feeling tones are your food. You nourish yourself. And they're also your shelter. The Buddha talks about jhana, right concentration, as a vihara, a place you settle in. When you can think in these ways, then you look at the world. And at times like this, when you realize that everything that you might claim to outside is in danger, everything is in peril, you realize the importance of finding your shelter inside, in your activities of goodness, in the mind's ability to keep on churning out goodness. Now it's going to need strength to do that. The strength, the conviction, realizing that your actions are important, will make a difference. Persistence in trying to maintain that attitude in everything you do. Trying to develop only good actions. Mindfulness to keep this in mind at all times. So you arrive at the concentration where you can get the food you need, the shelter you need, and the discernment to realize that even this is not good enough, not safe enough. There's more work to be done. But you have the strength to do the work. So work on developing this shelter inside. We have food, clothing, shelter, medicine you need. All the requisites you need for the mind. When those are taken care of, then you're free. The world may crush whatever you have outside, but they can't crush these things. This is what it means to be mindful. To keep this fact in mind that we are nomads going through samsara. We're not here to settle down. Samsara is a place where you pass through. You do good, you leave goodness behind. In the sense of leaving good things in the world as you pass on. And that's the paradox of the Buddhist teachings. The things you try to hold on to get ripped from your grasp. The things you willingly leave behind become your treasures. One of the Buddhist images from the Dhammapada is that the good you've done will meet you as you go to the other side. And you don't have to wait to the other side. The good you do supports you here as you look into the activities of virtue, concentration, discernment, generosity, goodwill, and find pleasure in those activities. One of the Buddha's other images is of the swans leaving a lake. There's a passage in the Dhammapada. The mindful keep active. They don't delight in settling in. They leave every home, like swans taking off from a lake. It's in keeping active that your refuge lies. It's in your ability to fly. That's what keeps you free from danger. So remember that the things you amass here in the world are always subject to danger, always subject to peril. It's just that sometimes, like times like now, when you realize how dangerous the situation is, that's when you should be really mindful and heedful. To look for your own inner activities as the source for your true happiness, as the happiness itself. As you're sitting here doing concentration, be happy that you're doing concentration. Be happy that you're developing good qualities in the mind. That happiness will be your nourishment. Those good qualities will be your shelter. A shelter you can pick up and take with you wherever you go. Nourishment that you can find wherever you go. Think of that story of Jivaka, the young man who was studying to be a doctor. He studied for years and years. He kept wondering, when is there going to be an end to this knowledge that I'm trying to develop here? So he went to see his teacher and asked him, when is there going to be an end to this? The teacher said, take a basket and go around the city of Daxila, which is where he was studying, for the radius of a league. If there's any plant out there that's not in the medicine, bring it back. So Jivaka went out, surveyed the entire area, and came back and said, there's nothing out there that's not medicine. That's when his teacher said, okay, now you know enough to keep yourself going. You've completed your studies. The same way, you want to have the skills to realize that wherever you fall, wherever you go, you can find nourishment, you can find medicine, you can build a shelter for yourself. Those are the skills of conviction, persistence, mindfulness, concentration, discernment. They're your shelter, they're your medicine, they're your food, they're your clothing, all the requisites. They lie in your actions. This is why the verse says, the mind will keep active. Because it's not in your actions that your true safety lies.